Kobe Bryant retired in 2016, not before scoring 60 points in his final NBA game. That was unbelievable. He was the only NBA player in history to have both of his jerseys, number 8 and number 24, retired by a franchise. Those numbers iconic to NBA fans worldwide. And just over the weekend, Bryant congratulated LeBron James for passing him on the all-time NBA scoring list. President Obama said Kobe was a legend on the court, just getting started in what would have been just as meaningful a second act to lose Gianna, one of four daughters. Even more heartbreaking to us as parents. Michelle and I send love and prayers to Vanessa and the entire Bryant family on an unthinkable day. President Trump posted on Instagram, Kobe Bryant, despite being one of the truly great basketball players of all time, was just getting started in life. He loved his family so much and has such strong passion for the future. The loss of his beautiful daughter, Gianna, makes this moment even more devastating. The L.A. Times, Bill Plotchke wrote a column which stood out to me, brought tears to my eyes. He said, I'm screaming right now, cursing into the sky, crying into my keyboard, and I don't care who knows it. Mike Max is here just to provide some perspective. I couldn't believe it when the alert came in yesterday. Mikey, I thought this has to be a mistake. This can't be true. What were your thoughts when you heard the horrific news?
I thought, unconfirmed report was what I got. Text from one of my colleagues, and I said it's true because it couldn't be this far down the road and not have some merit to it. And then you begin to digest and look back and think about. And from a Minnesota standpoint, I thought immediately about Kirby Puckett. Mm-hmm. And iconic, unbelievable, had some issues, just like Kobe, really. I mean, had some difficulties off the field and some things that were not above reproach, but in the end, still an institution, an iconic figure. And when he passed, and I just remember, I remember how first you in his case, you heard about that he was in the hospital in intensive care, and you go, well, he'll come back from that. And then you go, no, somebody tells me, you don't get it. It doesn't look good. And I remember, because I remember how the state felt about that day. Everybody had a Puckett memory, and everybody.
Yep.
Ironically, Kirby was, one of my lasting memories is Kirby and Shaquille O'Neal in 2004 playoffs standing in the hallway talking because they were buddies, and Kirby would sit courtside, and he was friends with all those guys. They all knew him, and he loved them. They loved him, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Kobe was, a complicated, competitor that, there's lots of layers to Kobe Bryant because, Jerry West was just crying last night, and he's the one that facilitated the deal with Charlotte to get him to Los Angeles. And I thought, in many respects, he was probably, as difficult as he was also a coach's dream and a general manager's dream because he demanded perfection, And so therefore that helps the coach sell it because he's demanding it of his teammates and everybody else. And he clashed with Shaquille O'Neal,
right.
Their personalities. But I can remember vividly visiting many times with Devin George, who went to Augsburg and played with them during those glory years. And he said, you know, what people never understood about that whole thing was that when they were on the court, there was no friction. They were unbelievable in their unity towards the goal of winning. And he said, I wish people could have heard, like, during the timeouts when Kobe would say, okay, if he switches, then I'm going here. You'll be open on the backside. And it was like they were thinking the game the same way. And really, that's all that matters is that you respect, the people that you play with. And,
right.
and he said those two had that, even though they had that chemistry, even though people got – very much caught up in the, whose town is it, Kobe or Shaq's. Then years later, of course, they mended those fences. He was, I interviewed him a couple of times. One time, I'll see if I can dig it out somewhere, about we were doing it about high school sports, and he was in town for the playoffs. They played the Timberwolves twice, and during his, eliminated them twice. And I remember my takeaway was, he's a pretty thoughtful guy, because the answer he just gave me wasn't some canned answer. There was a little articulation to it and a little bit of thought to it. And many times you find with superstars like this, it's like when the Yankees come to town or the Lakers come to town, the guys that are the best are also, when they do an interview with you, they're good because they're
locked in. You don't get the canned answers.
No, because they get this. Right. They understand who they are and what's expected of them, and they look you in the eye and they tell you, they think about it a little bit. And a lot of time that's true of the great players, and he was one of them. The other memory that I got is he had a personal trainer. It was the same one Michael Jordan used, Dwayne used. And I wish I could remember his name. And again, he came in studio with me on radio for an hour a few years ago. Maybe it was after he'd written a book. I don't remember. And Dan Cook was in there with me. Mm-hmm. And it was a fascinating hour. Basically, the gist of it was, if you think you know Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, you don't have a clue. Because Kobe Bryant gets up, and it is from the moment he gets up. Now, he was in the prime of his career at the time still. It is, how am I going to win? How am I? What do I have to do to get a little bit closer, to get that little bit edge?
Right.
What's in between me and a world championship? Because that's where my day starts and ends. And it is fanatical and obsessive. The way that he went about it and the pride that he put. Some might say that's unhealthy. Whatever you want to call it, he had it. So did Jordan. And it is beyond description, he said, as to how bad, not only how bad they want it, but to see how they handle anything that could be a distraction along the way.
Talk about focus. You know, and I mean, we think our superstars in the NBA and the National Hockey League and the NFL, I mean, they should wear capes. And it just, to me, it seemed impossible that this could happen. Kobe was one of nine people who lost their lives yesterday. I mean, it reminded me the fragility of life and the fact that, you know, we don't get to choose how our ticket ultimately gets punched, and you got to live every day, you know, like it's the last day. But who really does that? The thing that really broke my heart as a parent was his 13-year-old daughter.
Yep.
And I know some of the fans, in a good-natured way, kept it. He has four daughters, and fans encouraged him to, hey, you know, you got to have a son. You know, you got to have somebody following in your footsteps. And at one point, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, said, I got this. Just watch.
You don't know. And if you're faith-based at all, you may say, there's a reason, you know? And he became a great advocate for girls' sports in general.
Well, I'm not giving Kobe a pass on anything that happened
in
the
past. No, he had a complicated
past.
Life.
Yeah, he had issues, and we're not whitewashing
Denver,
that.
You know, he was flying back and forth on his own charter plane while he was going to court to fight the sexual assault charge in Denver, the 19-year-old that ultimately was settled in circuit court or civil. But, you're absolutely right. And he was a he's a complicated guy. Some would say selfish at times. Others would say obsessive. Call it what you want. He was difficult. You had to manage him. You had to know how to manage him. There was a way that you needed to do that with him. And that is true, not just to Kobe Bryant, but you're talking about the elite of the elite here. And that is true of the elite of the elite many times.
Well, absolutely. And those are all good points. I guess what stood out to me was what he did after he retired. And he sure seemed to be a doting father, a loving father. I mean, his daughters obviously meant the world to him.
That's right.
It just, you know, you see the old video and it just breaks your heart.
But, and guess what? You know, none of us want to be defined by our worst day or our worst moment either, you know. And he learned and matured apparently from all of that and continued to move forward with it. But it was, and he was, you know, I mean, he wanted the ball, man. He wanted the ball in his hands. And, you know, that 60-point day is a little bit skewed because he took 50 shots and there was nothing at stake for the game. So they kind of let him do whatever he wanted in that game.
Right.
But, in general, he wanted to cut your heart out. And that series they had with the Wolves in the NBA Finals, it was almost as if they had paced themselves and said, Timberwolves, you go ahead and you rack up all the wins and you get Garnett the MVP and you win the home court. Have all that. We're going to pace ourselves. And when it's time for the, in this case, the Western Conference Finals, we'll be there. And right. they took it over, and they won it in six games with he and Shaq. And I just remember that as, you know, kind of a my takeaway was, okay, these guys got it figured out. Spin your wheels all you want. When it's showtime, we show up, you know?
Well, Mike, on a day like today, you're more than a sportscaster. You're a therapist. Thank you for letting us lie down on the coach.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I was out there this morning with the Wolves, and I'll be out there tonight as well checking things out. So.
Well, we're still going to catch up with you at 4:50 in the
regular
time. I'll
call you from Target Center.
Appreciate your time, buddy.
You bet.
Thank you.